Second chapter, which is called Divinity and Divine Service, this evening's text number 13. So, our procedure is, if you're new here, I'll say the verses in the Sanskrit behind me. It's been transliterated from the Devanagari script into the Roman alphabet with a few extra little special diacritic marks. And this is so we can all chant this. Because these are spiritually purifying mantras, and even if you don't understand it, just by chanting it, you become purified. Of course, we'll do better than that, but I'll try to understand it too. We'll start by chanting. So I'll say each word, and you say it after me, and then we'll do each part of each line responsibly. Okay, so 1, 2, 13. Atah,
Atah,
Kumbhir,
Kumbhir,
Dija,
Dija,
Shrestha,
Shrestha,
Varnashrama,
Varnashrama,
Bhagashaha,
Bhagashaha,
Sanushtishtasya,
Sanushtishtasya,
Dharmasya,
Dharmasya,
Samsidir, Paritoshanam, Atha Kumbhir Dija Shrestha, Varnashrama Vibhagashaha, Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya, Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya, Tattumbir Dija Shrestha, Varnashrama Vibhagashaha, Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya, Samsiddhir Haritoshanam, Tattumbir Dija Shrestha, Anushtishtasya Dharmasya,
Anushtishtasya Dharmasya,
Samsidir Haritoshanam,
Samsidir Haritoshanam,
Atha Kumbhir Dvija Shrestha,
Atha Kumbhir Dvija Shrestha,
Varnashrama Vibhagasha, Anushtishtasya Dharmasya, Haritoshanam,
Samsidir Haritoshanam,
Atha Kumbhir Dvija
Shrestha,
Varnashrama
Vibhagasha,
Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya,
Samsidir Haritoshanam,
Atha
Kumbhir Dvija Shrestha,
Varnashrama
Vibhagasha,
Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya,
Sanushtishtasya Dharmasya,
Samsidir Haritoshanam,
Samsidir Haritoshanam.
Atha
Kumbhir Dvija Shrestha,
Varnashrama Vibhagasha,
Pataha. So.
So.
Pummi.
Pummi.
By the human being.
By the human being.
Vidyashaistaha.
Vidyashaistaha.
O best among the twice born.
O best among the twice born.
Varna ashrama.
Varna ashrama.
The institution of four castes. And four orders of life.
And four orders of life.
Vibhagashaha.
Vibhagashaha.
By the division of.
By the division of.
Sanushtitasya.
Sanushtitasya.
Of one's own prescribed duties.
Of one's own prescribed duties.
Dharmasya.
Dharmasya.
Occupational.
Occupational.
Samsiddhihi.
Samsiddhihi.
The highest perfection.
The highest perfection.
Hari.
Hari.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Toshanam.
Toshanam.
Pleasing.
Pleasing.
Translation. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the laborer caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification, and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashrama Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varnashrama institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, that is, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current, but the saner section of the people know it well, that the divisions of castes and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high-thinking self-realization and not for any other purpose. Herein the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashrama Dharma is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namane. Namaste Sarasate deve gaudavari pracharane nivishesha sunyavari paschatsude sitarane Omma jnanam timaram dasya garanjana sarakaya chaksuru mirikim jainam tasmai si gurave namaha Vanisha kalpa kubhyascha mirtha sindhu vyeva cha patitanam pavane yo vaishnavi yo Natapumbir Vija Sesta Varashama Vibhavashama Sarastitasya Dharmasya Samsidhi Haritoshanam. Best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So here this verse is referring particularly to this system of varna ashrama, varna ashram dharma. You may think, oh well, this is a quaint historical reference for an old system in India, now obsolete, and maybe for the benefit of all, consigned to the dustbin of history. But I want you to notice that Prabhupada begins his purport with a statement that you may think is totally false. He says, human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. What? Not in America, for sure, huh? In big countries. But Prabhupada is actually making a very serious point here about the construction of human society. We tend to think nowadays that there is no what you call a normative human social order. That different human societies we see all over the world, they have different ways of organizing themselves. And basically, we make them up. And there's none that we can say is standard. But here Prabhupada ends by quoting, referring to Bhagavad Gita 4.13, where Krishna says, Chatur Varnam Mayastrasya Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. This system of four varnas, four castes, I created. It's made by me, according to people's guna, their characteristics or their qualities, the modes of material nature, and their karma, their occupational activities. I made this. In other words, it's created by God. And this is the natural and normative division for human society. So it's not recognized as such today. You may notice in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how that we have experienced the degraded form of this system. But it's actually natural. So if the four varna, also known as caste, you find out that we need, even in this case, we don't recognize them, perhaps, but every society needs some intellectuals to give guidance and direction. You notice today the politicians, they have their think tanks, and their thinkers are what at least pass as thinkers, who advise them and figure things out and tries to look at the future, tries to apply what they understand about history or human nature to society. It's the intellectuals who guide and direct. That function is still there, even though the intellectuals are totally incompetent for the most part. The martial caste, that is to say, every society needs people who are in government, who manage things, and who protect. Right now, we can sleep in our beds because there's a group of people out there patrolling the city at night in cars, and they have guns. I don't have to carry a gun because there are other people that do that. If there were no police, I'd have to be a cowboy and be like them. You'd have to defend yourself all the time. So we have armed forces and we have police. This is the martial class. So that protection has to be there. In this city of Philadelphia, founded by Quakers, they wanted everybody to be essentially intellectuals, Brahmins. And they were pacifists and didn't want, or try not to have this martial class of people, but it failed. It didn't work out. Because actually, at least necessary for protection. Then the productive class, those are the wealth-producing people. Traditionally, farming, agriculture, herdsmanship, trade. Business. Of course, this is the class in America we're most familiar with. One president, Calvin Coolidge, famously remarked that the business of America is business. So we're famous for business in this country. And then there are laboring classes. People have to do the work, physical labor, working as they do now in fields or in factories or and so on. So you find these four groups are there still. Somehow or other, in some way or other, these functions have to be performed. Because the social body is like a human body. A human body has head, arms, belly, and legs to function. And one way, the head is the most important. Because the brain is there and any of the most important sense organs, so the head guides and directs, and the arms are for protecting, and then there's the belly for digesting food stuff and so on, and then there's the legs for carrying us around. So this is the simile. There's the social order: head, arms, belly, legs, and society. So this is called Varna. Krishna says, I created human society like this. Then the other that he mentions are what Prabhupada calls the four orders and the four ashrams. This is a temporal division of the student life, brahmacharya. It also means celibate. There was a time when students were celibate. You wouldn't know it today, but student life, one be celibate and study. So let's say we're taking a lifespan of 100 years, so 25 years student, 25 years householder, married, reproduction, engaged in occupational activities. Then age of 50 is called Varnaprastha. Retired from this life for also renunciation, stopping perform worldly activities and engaging in the fact that I'm 50 years old now. We start to see things are what's happening to the material body, the beginning hints of the future. Leaving the body is coming, and so now I concentrate on the spiritual activities, and then finally this is taken to the furthest extent of sannyas or complete renunciation. These are the four ashrams. This is for a society. All this is for a society in which, as the verses say, the main thing, the subsidy, the perfection, what is success, is that I'm working so as to please or satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the definition of success. Same definition for everybody. Whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a king or a politician, or whether you're an intellectual, same thing for everybody. You act in such a way that the Supreme Lord is pleased and satisfied. So in a sense, you see, everyone has the same goal, despite these divisions. Now, we don't recognize it today because things are really messed up. One thing was, as Prabhupada remarks, he says, these castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. India is famous for having this hereditary caste system. You're born into a certain occupational group, and that's what you do your whole life long, simply by whatever family you happen to be born into. You cannot change it. Even if you're really much more qualified, you can't get out. Or if you're in a really high caste and not at all qualified, you still maintain that position simply by birth. Well, we've been in the West, we've been eliminating these hereditary positions for a long time. The hereditary monarchy, we mostly got rid of in the 18th century. And so now we want to say that are not confined in this way. And this is actually the original Vedic system. Krishna says that you belong to this by guna and karma, your qualities and your work. He doesn't say the word janma, birth. But in the course of time, it became a hereditary caste system, and it became exploitation. See, in this system, you have these four groups, and the most powerful are the Brahmins, the intellectuals. Then the next most powerful are the Kshatriyas, those who protect society, the political leaders and the martial people. Next is the Vaishyas, the income-producing group, and then finally the laborers. These are, in terms of the modes of material nature, you will find this analysis that the material world is characterized, material nature is acting according to the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And people are situated in these modes by nature. Then when it says guna, people's qualities, it means chiefly these material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. We are all psychologically, by our own nature, predominated by one or another. Now, it could be changed too, although it's maybe sometimes a little difficult. This is a whole another topic. The whole chapter of Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to teaching us how to see how these modes work and how they bind a person condition a soul. But people are naturally situated in this. If I have the nature for doing intellectual labor, then that's what I should do. If I belong to the group that is competitive, has a lot of interest in power and strength, and directed to use that power to protect others, then that's the martial class. Those who are the intelligent class is interested in truth. They're curious about how everything works, and they want to find out and understand everything. the martial class is interested in honor and motivated by honor, and correct exercise of power. Productive class is wealth, looking for money, and the labor class, they just want to work and be secure. When Prabhupada came to America, I was there when he was in the early days of the movement. It was in the New York airport. And the reporter said to Prabhupada, "Why have you come to the West?" And Prabhupada said, "I have come to give you a brain." And then he explained, he said, "Your society is a headless society." And then he explained, just that we've done a little bit here about the head, arms, belly, and legs of society. He says, "You have no brain. You have no brain." And then he says, "In your society," he says, "everyone is Shudra. That is laboring class." Right? Everybody, we're all equal now. It means all equal by coming to the lowest level together. Everyone, he says, everyone is a Shudra, and there are labor, and there are a few Vaishyas, that is to say, a few people in the productive class. Everyone is a worker, and there are a few real capitalists. If you look at this country, you'll see the statistics that 5% of the families have about 90% of the wealth. Most of America is in debt. And there are a few people that we're indebted to. If you follow out there's the loaning class and the borrowing class. So this is actually Prabhupada's analysis is right on. That means in our experience we have not seen real Brahmanas or real intellectuals according to the standards of Krishna. Neither have we seen real politicians or real military. This is beyond our historical experience. We got rid of kings because in the West, because it was a purely hereditary monarchy and people were not at all qualified anymore and they just abused the power, so we got rid of them. This is our experience. In fact, you can look at the history of the West. There was at one time in the West a kind of this system in a certain primitive form. During the Middle Ages, there were the priests. The priests were organized in the West, in the Roman Catholic Church, different kind of an organization. And at that time, the priest in the church was very, very powerful. Below the Pope and the organization of the church were the feudal kings and the feudal lords. This was the Kshatriyas. The hereditary monarchy, hereditary nobility of Europe. Then there were what the wealthy farmers and traders in the towns, known as the bourgeoisie. This is the Vaishyas. And then there are the peasants or the serfs who are bound to the land, right? There you have it. There's that system. It was natural at that time. This system. And if you look at the history of Europe, the last 500 years or so has been a gradual collapse. First of all, the priests became corrupt. It's a long historical explanation, but there was a little bit of confusion in Europe. And the head of the Catholic Church became enormously wealthy. Brahmins are supposed to receive in charity, and they did. People left land in their wills, so pretty much the church had owned half of Europe. But Brahmins, according to Varnashram Dharma, not only do they receive in charity, they give in charity. They take minimum what they need and they give the rest away if they get more. They live on donations. This is how intellectuals are supposed to live. They don't get paychecks from a university. That means they're employed by Vaishyas and therefore they're Shudras. Brahmins are independent because of their detachment and they simply live on charity. And if they get more than they need, they give it away to others. The church did not give it away. They kept it. And the Pope, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, was also a king of about half of Italy. So there was some confusion there about his role. And so therefore, gradually, the priests became corrupt. And there was a revolution of the Kshatriyas, the nobility, against the priesthood. We know this as the Protestant Reformation. And the result of the Protestant Reformation, for example, in England, who became the head of the church in England? It was no longer the Pope, it wasn't even the Archbishop of Canterbury, it was the king. Well, the thing, what is a queen or a king doing ahead of a church? That's what happened. All over Europe, there became national churches headed by the nobility. Well, you can see this as this rebellion of the princes, the hereditary nobility, against the priests. Next thing that happened was that, well, the priests now, not the nobility, and the kings having no check because no guidance. Because the Brahmins in the Varnashram system, they would control the Kshatriyas because they were more intelligent and gave them good advice and gave them proper guidance. So that their power was not misused. But now there was no brahminical guidance for the Kshatriyas. They became more outrageous in their profligate misuse of money and power and oppressed other people. So there was another revolution. This is of the Vaishyas, the bourgeoisie, against the nobility. This is known as epitomized in the French Revolution. It's a broad social movement, but there was a French Revolution. One for the American Revolution was the same thing in the 18th century, right? So that was it. The kings are gone, or if they're around, they're just ceremonial people, the nobility. The power is transferred to the Vaishyas, the productive class, who become more developed and more powerful and emerge as capitalists, the owners of all the wealth. And through their cleverness, the Industrial Revolution develops, and they oppress the laborers who are herded out, forced out of the fields and into factories and dark satanic mills and so on. And so naturally there's a revolution against the Vaishyas by the working class, the Shudras. This is the socialist and communist revolutions. This is the history of this slow collapse. Now where are we? Well, you may notice that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, it's become tougher for workers everywhere. And it looks like the Vaishyas are coming back really big. I don't know, we'll see what happens. But this system, I just wanted to tell you this little brief history because you should know that we have not seen real Kshatriyas, real Brahmanas, maybe not even real Vaishyas. Vaishyas are supposed to protect cows, first of all, not slaughter them. Anyway, you can read about this system. So this system, we are against it because this whole system of higher caste or lower caste, we say, well, this is not this is leads to oppression. We don't want to have higher. Well, we want to get rid of these divisions. Everybody is equal. Because our experience is that if somebody has power over somebody else, the power becomes abused. There's a famous statement, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yet every attempt to level things out and get rid of power, to get rid of the stronger and weaker division, to hobble or to restrict the strong or to somehow empower the weak, somehow still you end up, the inequality creeps in there. Nobody talks about it. In America, we're all supposed to be equal, but everybody knows that it's different. That there's stronger and there's weaker. What to do? So we want to get rid of the whole thing, but that actually doesn't work. So the Vedic system says, yes, there are these people in the different modes. We don't, the intellectuals are actually the strongest because of the power that the pen is mightier than the sword. And they have the power of detachment, which makes they can control their own minds, which most people can't control at all. So this is the point of an intellectual, a brahmana. They are supposed, brahmana means one who understands what is Brahman, who can understand the absolute truth. Today's intellectuals are completely baffled by relativistic and nihilistic philosophies. They've lost their connection with the absolute truth. They are not in the mode of goodness. They're no longer competent. If you study the system, what is the training for an intellectual? You see, it is such that you are free from the dictations of passion and ignorance. And in one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, the sattva guna, then you can understand what is the soul, what is God, what is spiritual. You can have actual direct perception of the Lord and of the soul. Otherwise, not possible. So because of the corruption of the intellectual class, now they're just nihilistic. They cannot give any directions to society. All they can do is try to advise people how to win elections by telling more clever lies. As basically, they're all just cunning liars. For directing at least the course of politics. Totally cynical manipulators of public opinion. That's basically what's happened. They don't know the truth. They're not interested in it. So this is, but the real brahmanas, they actually understand the absolute truth. So they are the servants of Krishna. They understand what is soul and what is the supreme soul. That is communicated to their political leaders. So they are the servants. The people at the top are the biggest servants. They're servants of Krishna. So the Brahmins serve the Lord. The Kshatriyas, the military, the political, they serve the Brahmins. The Vaishyas serve them. The Kshatriyas of the and finally the Shudras, those laborers, or you can say general assistants, people who are really not capable of independent action. There's a way, it's easy to see what people's quality is. Here's a person. Does this person belong to the Shudra class or to the Vaishya class? To the productive class or the laboring class, you can say? Well, give them $10,000. If he's a Vaishya, he'll come back with 20. If he's a non, he'll come back and say, give me more money, I lost it. You can tell. This is simple. Expensive way, the secret ways of finding these things out. But people are just different. They have different natures. And they should be engaged according to their nature. But if everyone understands that we are equally the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there will not be any exploitation. So, I just tell one story. When in the early days, I used to go out in the morning and distribute Prabhupada's books and Back to Godhead magazine at the corner right by City Hall. I was doing this for a while. And I noticed that I was out there every day, every morning, like from about 10 to 12. And while I was distributing magazine in the street corner, there was a guy watching me. And finally he came up to me and he said, "You people are amazing." He said, "I've never seen anybody work so hard as you people. All day long you're out and distributing these books and collecting donations." But he said, "But it makes me sick." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you give everything to him," and he pointed this picture of Prabhupada. He says, "You're out on the streets collecting money and he's riding around in Cadillacs and living in big mansions." I said, "No, he's not." I said, "He's very renounced and he doesn't take any of this money for himself." The guy didn't believe me at all. He just insisted that we're duped by, we had such good qualities, but it's so unfortunate we're being exploited by this person. I couldn't convince him otherwise. So I thought about it, and then I realized what he was thinking, that if you see somebody working really hard and they're not enjoying the fruits of their work, you figure the guy at the top is enjoying. That's the system. You see, workers are working very hard and harder getting paid. You know the boss is making a lot of money. So he could see that here is the people we are calling our master, my spiritual master. I use this word, master, right? That means I'm servant. This name we have, Dasa, means servant. It means Shudra. Dasa means I'm the servant of Krishna. I'm the servant of my spiritual master. I take that term as a devotee, that I'm Dasa. So he's my master, and I'm his servant, and I serve Srila Prabhupada. But what I know is that Srila Prabhupada is not enjoying. Rather, he's a bigger servant than me. He's my master, but he's my master because he's the bigger servant. He's serving Krishna. And it's true, you see, Prabhupada was a sannyasi. He kept nothing for himself. He lived extremely simply. His work day was almost 24 hours. Totally engaged in Krishna's service. Sometimes you see the priests on the golf course, Prabhupada never played golf. They never took a vacation. You know, he was 24 hours engaged. He was a bigger servant than me. And I didn't mind serving him. I was happy to say, "I have surrendered to you, exploit me." Because Prabhupada is not at the top, Krishna is at the top. And Krishna is the enjoyer, that's a fact. The person at the top is enjoying, but it wasn't Prabhupada. It isn't Prabhupada, it's Krishna. He's the supreme enjoyer. So if everyone is centered that I am the servant of Krishna, then the whole system works. When everyone artificially tries to become the master, Indriya Priti Prabhupada says, by sense gratification, now I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, then everything becomes spoiled. So this system, this Varnashram system, is not some obsolete, anti-exploitive, pre-Karl Marx system in the trash bin of history. No, this is actually created by Krishna. It will always emerge in one form or another because people have different natures and different capacities for action. They should, if we're engaged according to our own nature, we will be fulfilled. we will be happy. If I can make my full contribution according to my own natural tendencies, not to be dictated by others, but it's just a fulfillment of what I am. And every person can make equally spiritual advancement in that position by this haritoshanam, samsiddhi or haritoshanam, by pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is there. As long as Krishna's in the center, this is work. If Krishna's not in the center, what's the use? You have all these different thisism, socialism, communism, capitalism, oligarchies, and it's just a mess. You know, people are just unnecessary increasing the pages of history with all this turmoil and conflict and fighting for predominance, and it goes on without any end. So this is when the system makes sense, when the Supreme Self is being served. So Prabhupada says here, in the Kali Yuga, our present age, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well, that divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high-thinking self-realization, and not for any other purpose. So Prabhupada has taught us this system. Right now we cannot maybe see how to apply it or how it will work, but I think the day is coming maybe quicker than we know that we will need this system. Because we see that, I think, it's pretty clear to me that we've had for a long time this artificial economic system based on nothing but industrial production, and it's pretty much screwed up the world. People are really wondering whether it can recover or not. Well, it can. But when we are now looking for what will happen next, Prabhupada has given us what is actually Krishna's system. And we should learn this and study it so that it can be correctly applied, and the time will come when all this will become very valuable for us for guidance for a restoration of spiritual human civilization. And that was Prabhupada saying. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Here's our announcement. Do I have time for questions? Do we have a lot of announcements? Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions or comments about this? Yes.
How do we choose politicians?
How do we choose politicians? Close your eyes, cross your fingers. So we don't have a political, as far as I'm concerned, I don't really have a political, I vote, and I choose, you know, the lesser of two evils, and so on.
I actually ran the poster outside.
I didn't put them up there, the Democratic Party did.
I was really, I'm just even to
No, I didn't do it. We took some down and they put them back up again. So that's not us. We are not supporting any particular candidate. Sometimes you may look and see, because some particular local politician or somebody may actually be more favorable to the Hare Krishna movement. They would say, good, we'll vote for you. We don't have our real party, our real candidate, not yet anyway. You know, Prabhupada had started a political party for a while, just to show us what to do. Yeah, he called it the In God We Trust Party for Purified Leaders. There were five of us running for political office. In God We Trust Party. This just gives you an idea of what politicians we need. And our platform was that the leaders needed to follow the four regular principles. No eating meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. We had to have pure leaders, and then they could guide society. That was our platform. We weren't going to say everybody else should do it, but that was the leaders. Yeah.
How do you minister or identify our nature, respect of nature?
People are a little confused right now about what that is. It used to be Brahmanas could tell. Generally, the best thing you do is, first of all, study Bhagavad Gita and other books, exactly what are the mode of passion, mode of goodness, and mode of ignorance. And get to know yourself, or if you're not sure, get somebody who does to see what you are. Somebody with intelligence can really look and see. I think by the time a child is 10 or 12 years old, you could probably tell pretty well what their nature is. People are very mixed up now. People are all kinds of things together because the social system doesn't really bring things out. So therefore, people are very not very firmly situated in their occupational engagement. They keep changing, flipping back and forth, trying this, trying that. So it's a little difficult right now, but it can be done. It can be done by your guna, your qualities according to Bose material nature, and the kind of work you really like to do and what you do well. Sometimes I may like something and do very well, but maybe other people, it's not a high social status or it's not possible, so I'm frustrated because I cannot do my own work anymore. Because it's what you have an aptitude for and what you really like to do is fulfilling. That should be what natural strength should be built on. Again, people don't know how to even know what that is for sure. And so everyone is frustrated. So in this day and age, it's a little bit difficult, but it can be done. So we better stop. I'm afraid we have to. Now I have someone else, because you've gone over time. If you want to talk about it some more, come up afterwards. See the Prabhupada.
The Sunday feast this evening is sponsored by Prerna and the Cattle family. The prayer is here. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. We also have another sponsor, but they want to remain anonymous. I'd like to offer congratulations to the Gupta and Mahajan family on the birth of Shubham Gupta.
Will the proud grandfather stand up?
The grandson of Kailaya Mahajan. So let's welcome Shubham to this world. Let's all chant Hare Krishna Mantra one time together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This Wednesday, is November 1st, is Ekadasi. It's a holy day where we request the best from meat and grains. There will be a Sunday feast cooking meeting on the second floor, right at the top of the stairs, at 7 o'clock this evening. So if you're involved or would like to be involved, please go to the second floor. Krishna Pastor Prabhu, he'll be leading the meeting. You can raise your hand. And if you want to see him beforehand to find out what it's about, you can go see him. And we request everybody to come back at 7:30. This is the month of Kartik, and we sing this special song, the Dalai Rasikam. If you've been coming the last couple of weeks, you've been able to sing along, and everybody gets an opportunity to come forward and offer a candle to the deities. So please come back at 7:30 for that. Right now we're going to stop and take our dinner for shower. We'll be serving you up here, and as well as on the second floor. Thank you.